Look with me, if you would, please, in 2 Corinthians again. We began this last night, and we're continuing. Our text here, thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. He's listing off a number of things that were difficulties and hardships for him, Paul is. But then he says, as in verse 11, 2 Corinthians 6, 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, our heart is enlarged. Verse 12, he said, you are straitened, which is the opposite of enlarged. You are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. And that's the previous verse, he used the word heart, and bowels refers to insides. Peter talks about the hidden man of the heart. And he said, verse 13, now for a recompense in the same, I speak to as to my children, be ye also enlarged. So this was the word of the Holy Spirit through Paul, be enlarged. Everybody said out loud, be enlarged.
Be enlarged.
Be enlarged. Now, this covers a lot of areas. It covers anything your heart is capable of, which in this case is love and faith and embracing ministry. But with the heart, Romans says, man believes. God is not limited in himself. But the psalmist said that the Israelites turned and limited the Holy One of Israel. And if you look at the whole story, they limited him. All he could do for them was give them survival, subsistence. They didn't die in the wilderness. But that's all he could do for them. For 40 years until that whole generation died out. And none of that was his perfect will.
Amen.
For any of them. His perfect will was a land that flows with milk and honey, where there's abundance of every good thing, and the scripture said, and you won't lack anything in it. Houses you didn't build. Orchards and vineyards you didn't plant. Wells you didn't dig. I mean, all you got to do is bring your underwear and move in. It's all fully furnished. And you got to remember, he's talking to people who were slaves. Their parents were slaves. Their grandparents were slaves. They didn't own the rags on their back. And now they're going to own their own houses, properties, everything. And yet some 2 million people never saw it. Died in the wilderness. Why? Closed heart, closed mind that limited. Not what God could do, but what he could do for them. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. But if we're going to receive more of God and more of his plan and will in our life, it is not just all up to him. Our ability to receive from him must increase, must enlarge. He's not limited in what he can do, his ability, but he is limited in what people will believe and receive.
Yes.
So can you see why the Holy Spirit would say, be enlarged.
Yes.
Be enlarged.
Enlarged.
Widen out. Become bigger. Become greater. And so we ended up at Ephesians, if you'd look there again. Ephesians, the third chapter, asking and answering the question, well, just how big can we enlarge? And we're talking about on the inside, in our heart. And Ephesians 3 gives us the answer. He said, Ephesians 3:16, and this is a prayer that you can and should pray for yourself and for other people. Praying that he would grant you, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Well, how much is that? To be strengthened with might by his spirit, where?
In the inner man.
In the inner man. Yeah, you need strength in your body, you need strength in your mind, but more importantly, you need strength in your heart and in your spirit. And in your soul.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
And if you got strength there, it's going to flow into the other areas of your body.
Amen.
That's what Proverbs 4 talks about. Guard your heart with all that you guard and keep, because out of it are the issues of life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said that Christ may dwell where? In your hearts. And how and why is that happening? Not just only by God's initiation, but by our faith. Can you see that word, by faith? By faith? By faith. You what God gives has to be received. There must be a response. So Christ is not just in our heart because it was offered to us, because it's been offered to millions that he is not in their heart. But we have received him by faith. Somebody say it out loud. Christ in me.
Christ
the
in me.
Hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Hallelujah. That you being rooted and grounded in love. And that's where our anchor is. God is love. Didn't say God is faith.
Amen.
Mm-mm. Faith works by
love.
Didn't say love works by faith.
No.
Love is first. Because God is first.
Yes,
because God is love.
Right.
You wouldn't have any faith without love.
Yes.
Who is God?
Amen.
Who is love?
Amen.
Wouldn't know what to believe for.
Right.
Or how to believe if it wasn't for love.
Right.
Who is God? That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Well, when he's talking about enlarging, he's talking about inner dimension.
Yes.
How much of God can one believer accommodate? Receive. That you may be able to comprehend, and this is available to who? All saints. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of what? And to know the love of the Anointed One, which is God. Jesus said in John 17, to know him is eternal life.
Yes.
To know him and to know Jesus, the Christ, who is love. To know this, do you know what makes heaven heaven? It's not just the gold streets. It's not just the jewel foundations and walls. Huh? It's not just the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. It doesn't have a star to give light. And yet everything's bright. And there's no night there. Why? Because the Lamb is. Is the light. So when you step out of your place in heaven and the light hits you on the face, you know what's hitting you? Love. It is the very atmosphere and environment of heaven, of where we're going. It's what you breathe, if you breathe. It's what you exist in. It's your element. Like a fish in water, you are a believer in love.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's where you and I are going to exist throughout the eons, where there is no hate, no darkness, no evil, no death, no pain, no curse. Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In just a little while, we're going to be out of here. And on to that, somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
But now what are we going to do in the eons to come? I think it's more than sit on a cloud and play a harp.
Come on now. Come on.
I think after a few thousand years, that could get kind of boring. If you want to sit on a cloud and play a harp, you probably could. But with God, there's going to be more.
Amen.
And one of the first things he told us to pray, and that Jesus taught us to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's him teaching us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, everybody say heaven,
amen.
Heaven, hallowed be thy name. The writer of the Proverbs tells us, you don't even begin to have knowledge or understanding or wisdom unless you have reverence for God.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where it starts. It doesn't matter how many doctorates you have, how many languages you speak. If you don't reverence God, you don't know anything worth knowing. I know that's a big statement.
Yeah, that's good.
But you, and if you don't change, you wound up being a fool. And they'll see it if they wait too long. But to know Him. Oh, somebody say to know Him. To know Him is life eternal. What does that embrace? What does that include? Notice what he says. Keep reading it. To know, which means, I mean, he wouldn't say pray to know it if you couldn't know it.
Right.
To know the love of Christ, which what?
Passes
knowledge. How can you know something that's beyond knowledge? By faith. By faith and by revelation.
Amen.
You didn't figure it out. God revealed it to you.
Yeah, that's good.
Hmm?
Yes.
You didn't work it out. God just showed it to you.
Amen.
And you saw it. But what He is and what He has is beyond knowledge for human beings here now. Not beyond us getting the knowledge. Not beyond us understanding. Hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians 2. But hold your place in Ephesians. We're not done with that. 1 Corinthians 2 and 7. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world. And He did it for what reason?
Our.
God had us envisioned before He made the planet. And like Phyllis was saying, it's about the journey.
Yes.
Down here is just journey.
Right.
This is not destination.
That's right.
Destination is glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Where are you going? Glory. Unto glory.
Hallelujah.
I may have to run some tonight. Ooh. What God has done for us, saints. Keep going. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, he's not talking about human princes. He's talking about spirits in heavenly places. None of them knew it because he's already talked about it before the world was. This was before the world, the earth existed. For had they known it, which means they don't know everything. Had they known it, they would not, and I would say they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. They did not see God's full plan. They actually thought when they crucified the Master that they won.
That was it.
They actually thought, especially when he went to the heart of the earth, there was celebration in hell. They thought they won.
Yeah.
They did not realize that he was paying the price and taking judgment for all of the millions of us to make us sons of the Almighty God in the eternal kingdom of glory. Oh, but when the Father spoke from heaven and hell shook and the chains fell and Jesus backhanded him and took his keys away. You know, the devil can't find his keys. He's lost his keys. The devil ain't what he used to be. He ain't what he's cracked up himself to be. He's been stripped. Brought to nothing, defeated, and he's under our feet. You need to remind him of it. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have what? Where?
Into the heart
of man. What? The things that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him?
Yes.
That is your and my main qualification. That we love him. You will never impress him with your knowledge. Compared to him, you will always be Ned in the first reader. But he loves us. Like a great father or grandfather loves a tiny little child that just learned how to scribble in color and said, look. And he'll go, oh, that's pretty, baby. That's pretty. Yes, it is. But to him, it's squiggles. But he's got a big plan for us. It involves growing up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ himself. And that's what the devil had no idea was going on. He thought he had one Christ that he could destroy and kill, and now he's got millions of sons of God, male and female, anointed ones. It's his absolute worst nightmare. And it's about to get worse.
Thank you, Lord.
It hasn't entered in to the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And a lot of people stop at that verse, but don't stop there. What's the next verse say? But what? God has revealed them. Them what? Them what? Them things that eye hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard, that had not previously entered into the heart of man. God is in the process of revealing them to us by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, child of God, do you know what Spirit resides inside you? The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep when God said, "Light be." The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And he knows the breadth and length and height and depth. He knows the deep things of God. And your heart, your spirit is connected to him right now. And everything that he knows, he could transfer to you. He's in you. You don't even have to speak audibly to communicate with him. He's inside you. From his spirit to your spirit to your mind is seamless and light speed and unlimited. That's the thing we haven't appreciated. Everybody say unlimited.
Unlimited.
Unrestricted.
Unrestricted.
He said, God's revealed them unto us. Does he want you to know things?
Yes, sir.
Does he want you to know about himself?
Yes.
Who he is,
yes.
What he is, his will, his plan, his ways.
Yes.
He wants us to know.
Yes.
That's why he gave us his word. That's why he gave us the author of the book,
yes,
to live inside us 24/7.
Thank you, Lord.
He will commune with us all the time if we will just look to him. If we'll just look, check our heart, and just look to him, he'll talk to you all the time.
Amen.
Show you things all the time.
Amen.
And what he wants to do with all of us,
yes,
is get some of this.
Yes.
So he can bring up things he hasn't been able to talk to us about. Do you know there's some things a 3-year-old can ask you? It's hard to answer them. You can tell them the answer exactly right, but they may not know what you're talking about because they just don't have the understanding. Right? They don't have how to connect it and put it together. But they grow up another 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And it's a different thing.
Yes,
different level of understanding. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, and the Bible said that they would commune in the cool of the day. These are not cavemen and women grunting,
yeah, right,
with no language, carrying sticks. They communed, but even before Eve was created, God brought all of his animals to Adam.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, he did.
And he had the capacity to name all of them according to their genus and their origin and their species. These are God-like abilities.
Amen.
And then, after he and Eve was created, they would commune with God. Well, What are they talking about? Huh? Even Adam would go, God, that is a beautiful sunset. And of course, back then it would have been even way more beautiful than it is now.
Amen.
This is pre-curse.
That's right.
Everything's perfect. And they'd say, Father, how'd you do that? And so he'd tell them. And they understood. When people talk about evolution, that's a lie. What has happened is devolution. Man has not evolved to his current state. Man has devolved to where many act and think and live like animals. But that we were not created that way. We were created in God's own likeness and image with full capacity to commune with Him. Brace yourself. On His level. Whew. Verse 11. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. He's talking about himself and all the believers at the church of Corinth. And of course, we're believers in the same church. Not Corinth, but the same New Testament church. We have received. Somebody say, we have received.
We have received.
And contrast, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? So we could do Jericho marches and talk in tongues and fall out. Well, that's fine. That's good too. But there's more to it. So we could what?
No.
The things that are freely given to us of God. God wants us to know it all. See it all. Comprehend it all. The full width, length, depth, height of Him.
Yeah, amen.
And He created beings with the capacity to receive all of Him. Who was it, Smith Wigglesworth, that used to say, I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Well, why did he say that? God's inside. They said, Brother John Lake used to look in the mirror and say, God's inside that man in that fine suit of clothes. God's in that man. Do we need to think that way?
Yes.
Can we think a lot more that way?
Yes.
Somebody said out loud, God's in me.
God.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Now back to Ephesians. Ooh. There's a lot in this book. And that's the understatement of the millennium. Ephesians 3, he said, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, 3:17, by faith. And we read in the 10th chapter of 2 Corinthians last night that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged. So growth and development of faith is tied together with enlargement of heart, because it's with the heart that you believe. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. Now that word comprehend includes the idea of both knowing, being aware of, understanding, and laying hold of. Laying hold of what? Is it just for a few special apostles and prophets? No, all saints.
All saints.
All saints.
Amen.
All saints.
Yes.
what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know and experience, to comprehend, to be aware of, to know it, to understand it, to lay hold of it. Of what? The love of the Anointed One that passes knowledge. Now, some things will be a mystery in this lifetime. But what Brother Hagin used to say, he said, you don't have to understand everything to be in faith about it.
Right.
He said as a little boy, he could not figure out how a brown cow would eat green grass and give white milk. And you churn it and make yellow butter. Young folks go, what's a churn? But he said while he's trying to figure it out, he's enjoying the milk. He's enjoying the butter. He's enjoying the ice cream. He don't know how. A brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk. But you don't have to know how to enjoy it. You do have to believe it and receive it. He said, we may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is a statement that just seems too big to believe. But again, do you have to understand it to believe it? What this is revealing to us is there's a lot more to us than we have thought.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
Our capacity.
Yes.
Say it out loud. I have the capacity.
I'm
made in the image of God. In the likeness of God Himself. And I have the capacity. And the capability. To be filled with all the fullness of God Almighty. That causes religious spirits to cuss. Makes you want to say it again, huh? I'm telling you. Woo! That includes some preachers that are motivated by religious spirits and purport a false and fake humility to keep talking about we're nothing. We're just those sinners saved by grace. We don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain type thing. What good would that do God? Huh? Millions of imbeciles. They don't know whether they're washing or hanging out, as we used to say down south. You know, they don't. Huh? What? If you were God, you want millions of imbeciles? No, you don't. No, you don't. God already had untold hosts of mighty angels. Already had them. Long before we came along, He wanted something else. He wants sons and daughters. Huh? He wants family that's able to grow up. Now, He knows we're in the preemie baby stages, but He's got big plans for us. He wants to just keep going. Now, think about it. How many would say you have come a long ways in the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years walking with God? Well, when you get out of here, you're not going to have any restrictions. You're going to take off. No, nothing coming against you to try to hinder you. If you've been coming like this, you're going to go like this.
Amen.
And what if you did like this for the next 10,000 years?
Hallelujah.
Where would you be? What would you be? That's why 1 John says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But when we see Him, We will be
just like him.
Do you believe Jesus has the capacity of all the fullness of God? In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And he calls you brother. And, oh, are you listening or not? Joint heir. Joint means equal heir. Equal heir. Equal heir. What God has done for us. We got to stop this denigrating, degrading. Are y'all with me? False humility. I'm nothing. Well, without God, you're nothing. Everybody knows it. So shut up about it. But you're not without him. He's with you. He's in you. He's made you something. Far above angels. The angels are sent to minister for us who are heirs of salvation. I've heard people say, well, yeah, you know, God took them. He needed another angel in the choir. That'd be a demotion. You ain't going to become an angel. You're already a son of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Genesis, please. Genesis 13th chapter. Abraham, like Phyllis was talking about earlier, is called our father in the faith, and he's held up, you know, as an ultimate example. And you got to remember that you'll hear people get things mixed up. What God did with Abraham had nothing to do with the law. That came centuries later. There was no law. There was no written word. He walked with God by fellowship and by faith. Hallelujah. And it's amazing how he trusted God. And we do it the same way. Same way that he did. He wasn't born again, but the faith is the same. It works the same. And it's by relationship. But I want you to notice, he's repeatedly referred to his faith. His faith, his faith. His faith was counted for righteousness. And we're told in both Romans and Galatians that we are also the children of Abraham. And if we do what he did, our faith is counted to us for righteousness. Yeah. The same. But faith, the Lord said something to me when I was in the chair just a few moments ago there. Faith has a root and a fruit. And it's in the definition in Hebrews 11.
Yes, sir.
Faith is what? Substance of things what?
Hoped for.
Hope is expectation of what's ahead. It's the evidence or the conviction of things what? So it's not based on what you see. And then the Bible said concerning Abraham's faith, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but he was fully persuaded. That's the root. And the other side of it is expectation. You've got the persuaded part, which is your anchor. That's your root. There is no expectation without the persuaded part.
That's right.
There is no hope.
That's
Bible hope without faith. People say, no, Brother Keith, you got hope first. No, you got what we call hope in our vernacular, which is desire. There can be desire first. But when the Bible, if you look up the words, the Bible word for hope is confident expectation. It's not just wishing for something. It's expecting something.
Yeah, that's right.
Hmm?
Yeah.
And if you're not expecting something, you're not in faith. But how will you be expecting something? You first had to be persuaded. Can you see this? You had to be persuaded of something. So there's an anchor, there's a root, and then there is a branch and a fruit, a result of faith. And this involves this persuasion and this expectation requires a word from God. You can't just generate it on your own. It is the faith of God. It's a measure of His very own faith inside you. The faith He created the worlds with. A small measure of that. And it's up to us how far we develop it. Not just in this life, but past this life. Newsflash. After this life, still walking by faith. Huh? Still living by faith. Still functioning, operating by love and faith. Hallelujah. It'll just get bigger and bigger. Greater and greater. And the scripture says in Proverbs, we've quoted it, you know, without a vision, what?
People perish.
What's that? Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, the people perish. But that word perish is a King James thing. If you look up the words, it has to do with being loosed. Let loosed. Not in the sense of being liberated, but in the sense of being uncontrolled. Uncontrolled. What is that? Your faith has to have a focus. If you say, well, I'm believing God, there needs to be a next question. For what?
Amen.
Based on what?
Yes.
See, the reason why people have had, you know, disasters and called it faith is because it didn't have the grounding.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And it didn't have the focus.
That's right.
I don't believe I gave myself to this tonight. I believe the Lord gave it to me. You got to have the ground. What's the grounding? You heard something from Him and you saw something from Him and you became fully persuaded. Hallelujah. And then what does that give you? Then if you act on what He told you, it gives you a hope. It gives you an expectation to see come to pass and brought to pass what He told you. And there's too many cases in our circles of people just in a vague, general way going, we're just believing God. Just believing God. I'm just believing God. Are you? Based on what? You're believing God for what? Based on what? Without a vision, there's no focus. There's no direction. There's got to be a focus. We didn't just stand up a few minutes ago and say, we're believing for good things to happen for Branson's auditorium. Woo! Hallelujah! What's going to happen? We don't know. Whatever God wants. It's not how it works. Well, I'm just going to leave it up to Him. He's left it up to you. You can't leave up to Him what He left up to you. So we prayed. Phyllis and I prayed. We sought the Lord. We talked. And why did we release faith? For 4 million. Why not 3? Why not 9? God's a big God. Why not our first billion? Woo! Because I ain't fully persuaded. Do I believe God can do it? I do believe God can do it. Am I there? Obviously right now. See, if I was there, I wouldn't hesitate. Y'all with me? I'm going, no, you ain't there. I used to lift weights quite a bit. But nowadays, there ain't no need in me sliding under that 400-pound barbell. Ain't no need in me getting under that. Huh? Well, your faith's like that.
Yeah.
I said your faith's like that. Maybe you're okay with the 2.5-pound dumbbell.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's all right. Use it. Use it and you'll develop. But too many have played games and claimed things and said things. It wasn't real.
Come on now.
Wasn't there.
Yeah.
Wasn't right. There's got to be a root and an anchor.
That's right.
And that's only in what God told you.
Yeah.
Hmm? Faith comes by.
Yeah.
And that's a rhema.
Yeah.
What God said to you about that. And that gives your soul an anchor and you can be fully persuaded. Well, then that allows you to have hope, confident, expectation. And then take whatever steps he tells you from where you are to there. Well, the Lord does that by just what we've been talking about, by giving us vision through revelation and words that actually expands our insides. So when God wanted to take Abram, and you got to remember, where was Abram coming from? Well, he had, left his home and he had prospered in business, but he didn't have a concept of his descendants being the Messiah, the Christ coming out of his lineage and all of that. God had to do so. He had to enlarge him.
Amen. Yes.
And you know how he did it? 13th chapter, verse 14, two segments in particular. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, because Lot took all the good land, took all the water. Looks like they're in a jam now. But the Lord said, no, lift up your eyes. Somebody say, lift up your eyes.
Lift up your eyes.
Why you need to lift up your eyes? Because we're looking higher.
Yes, we are.
We're looking further.
Yeah.
When you come up higher, your perspective changes.
Yeah.
I'm on the floor, so I can see right here. But how many know if I come up here,
yeah.
I can see a different thing.
Yeah.
Is that right? I got a wider perspective. Higher means you see more. You see further. You see wider. He said, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, north, south, east, west, for all the land that you what?
See.
You got to see it. You got to see it in your spirit. We're getting into now, how do I actually enlarge? In my heart, your vision broadens. As your vision increases, your heart's capacity widens with it to receive the greater that you're seeing.
Yes.
If you can't see it, you can't believe for it.
That's right.
Now, I don't mean the details, the concept. If you can't see yourself with it, then your faith's not there.
Amen.
If you can't see yourself doing it, if you can't see yourself being it, if you can't see yourself reaching it.
Yeah.
I know in the early part of my ministry, you might have heard me talk about this. And Brother Hagin was speaking in the afternoon healing school, and next thing you know, I was going to speak there. And man, I felt so inadequate. I thought, oh, Lord, you know. But I knew the anointing was the deal, so I kept begging for the anointing, begging for more anointing. And finally, the Lord corrected me one day. He said, all of my children have received an anointing when they're filled with the Spirit. He said, many of them have done nothing with that. Why would they need more? And he ministered to me, quit asking for more. Be thankful for what you have and use what you have. And he said, if you'll be faithful, I'll increase it. I'll add to you. And so instead of begging, I found the scriptures in Luke 9 and Matthew 10 and I'd Luke 4. And I'd just sit there sometimes on the floor for 20 minutes and I'd say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. On me.
On me.
See, I need it. I need it. There's no faith in that.
Okay.
I got to have it. I got to have it. There's no faith in that. God wants to hear you agree with Him and say what He said about you. And so I would say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. It took me a while to even warm up to the idea. Why? He has anointed me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. I'm anointed. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to look it. But I is. Anointed. How about you? The Lord said, all of my people receive an anointing when they're filled with the Spirit to be a witness. But to come to another level, to be able to believe more and receive more, you got to see more. And God's way of doing things is He gives you His words. And with His words, when you hear, you also see. When you hear, His words produce hearing and seeing and faith. He said, all the land you see, to you will I give it and your seed forever. And then He said, verse 17, arise and walk through the land, the length and breadth of it. I'll give it to you. Why? Why does He need to do that? Can't God just do what He wants to do? He operates by certain principles. And He purposely wants us to be involved because it's part of our development. We need to do it. Some of these things, it's the only way. You'll develop. What's Abraham got to get inside him now? What does God want him to get inside him? He's got cows. He's got camels. He's got gold. He's got silver. He's got tents. God says, all of this land, everywhere you can see, north, south, east, and west, you got to get that inside you so that you can see it being yours and your descendants perpetually. So look at it and then get your hiking boots on. And walk through it. Why? Because that's how you're going to figure out, man, this is a lot bigger place than I thought it was. Is that right? And this is a lot richer place. You got to see it. You got to think about it. You got to put your feet on it. Come on here with me. Put your feet on it. What's going on? Why is all that necessary? Because that's how it gets in you. That's how it gets in you. I know... and this has been back in the early 90s, mid-90s. And the Copelands, Brother Copeland and Miss Gloria, are so gracious and such friends to Phyllis and myself, allowed us to come down and minister at their place and with them. And so they had this wonderful airport and hangar and aircraft and jets. And, man, that was just so far beyond where we were thinking in the 80s. Especially, actually, I had somebody come up to me and said, offer to teach me to fly. And I said, no, thank you. And didn't pursue it 2 years later. And Brother Hagin, I mean Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland would say, get up in my plane. Get up in the cockpit there. In the left seat, you know, the captain's chair. Make airplane noises. Well, you know, you didn't hardly want to get in the door. You don't want to get anything on it, you know. And back, what, about 98 when he got that brand new one. And we didn't know of any ministry that had ever bought a new jet and paid for it. And they did. These are limit breakers.
Yes.
Barrier breakers.
Yes.
Somebody said, well, I don't want a jet. Well, there's something you want.
That's right.
And there's something you need that's way out beyond what you could ever produce in 1,000 years with 400 jobs.
Yes.
It's going to take God to do it.
Yes.
But before it'll happen, you got to hear from Him.
Yes.
And then it's got to get in you. And as time went on, He's encouraging us to believe for a plane.
Yes.
And eventually we realize it's the Lord. And so I was understanding how this works, this vision thing works. And so the concept just, you know, I knew I got to get it in me.
Yes.
And so I try to visualize us having a plane. And I could kind of get the tail in there. But them wings, man, they're so wide. They just wouldn't fit. They wouldn't fit. I go, oh, no, that ain't going to work. Now you got to see it. Can you see you and Phyllis and your staff going to meet it? Can you see yourself doing it? And I couldn't. I shouldn't say I couldn't. I didn't.
Yeah.
And eventually I'd meditate on it and think about it. And I'd see some of the numbers, and I'd think, no, quit thinking about numbers. I don't even want to know about the numbers. Either supposed to believe for it or you're not.
Right.
And so then I'd see, oh, look at there, look at there. There's the jet. It's a taking off. It's a breaking ground. It's a climbing up in the sky. And that's Brother Kenneth and Miss Gloria. And me and Phyllis is on the ground. No, that ain't going to work. Do y'all know what I'm talking about or not? You got to get it in you to where you can really, not pretending, you can see yourself doing it. You can see yourself with it. Now look down at the 15th chapter. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. How? In a vision. What does vision give you? It gives you focus. Right? What am I believing for? Why can I believe for it? And he said, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And he said, verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, what did he tell him to do? Look. 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 Toward, is that focus?
Yeah.
Toward heaven. And tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your seed be. I believe God gave him an exceptionally clear night. And he might have even bumped up his vision some and helped him. So what did he see when he looked up in the night sky? What did he see? He saw a tiny piece of our galaxy. Why is God telling him to do this? Does he know how many stars there are? No. Why does God say, can you count them? What's all this about? Huh? Can you envision this? Now think about this. At this point, they don't have one child of their own. How many children are you going to have? That doesn't seem possible. But you don't have to understand it to believe it. What's the next verse say? What's the next verse say?
Believe God.
And he did what?
Believed in the Lord.
Believed what? Believed what? Does he have a word from God?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Does he have a focus?
Yes.
He's looking at a focus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Faith is a choice.
Yes.
I said it's a choice.
Yes.
To believe. He just looked up in all of that. He can't take it all in with his eyes. And of course he's just looking from one little viewpoint place on the planet. But Romans tells us he staggered.
Staggered not.
Huh?
Yes.
He didn't go, oh. What did he do? He said, okay. God, I can't even begin to comprehend with my little mind what you're talking about. But if you say, if you say you can do it, I am fully persuaded that you can do it. And I will just say right here, right now, I believe it. And right there, right then, it was counted to him for righteousness. God counted him righteous in his response to him. And the Bible says that's the steps we're to follow him. How big is this God we're talking about? When you're talking about how big God is and you want to know more, do not go to the library and get a dusty theology book.
Amen.
The Bible said the heavens declare his glory. There's a little bitty couple of minute video. If you can, dim the lights and show it to us. Big. That's what God was showing Abraham. And that's just our galaxy. Back in the 90s, they decided maybe there were 200 billion galaxies. Now they decided there's trillions. Did they all create themselves? Who made them?
God.
the one you call Father. The Spirit who indwells you. Stand on your feet, everybody. Lead you in a prayer. Said out loud, Father God, I'm forever thankful that you have loved me and chosen me, created me to be with you through eternity. I am so thankful. Open my eyes, my ears, my heart. Enlarge my heart that I may truly comprehend and know an experience of your vastness, of your goodness, of your light, your life, your power, your love. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today free of charge by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.